Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one tonight. We do give everyone a warm welcome into our service. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to thank Brother Gary for the word and song. Really tremendous singing and anointed. And we really appreciate it. It's a ministry, the singing, and we thank the Lord for it. Praise God. We welcome you tonight listening in, and I want to give a shout out to the brethren in Liberia, Africa. The Lord bless you. Also in Australia, New Zealand, in the US, in England, and also Scotland and Wales, and here in Northern Ireland, and also the south of Ireland. The Lord bless each one. We do give you all a very warm welcome to our service tonight. This evening, we're going to be looking at the Word of God, and the title tonight is taken from the scripture, The Righteousness of God. We want to look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. And 16 is a very well known scripture that many people quoted preaching, and they quoted even in their prayers. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let us bow our heads tonight, and if you have a need, I want you to just make your request known to the Lord. We want to be praying. We heard of a tremendous tragedy and here in Guildford just this very day, and we want to remember the whole family circle. I don't personally know them, but that God would just be with them and help them at this time of loss. Father in heaven, we do bow before thee in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank thee for this great privilege that we have, that we can come into thy very throne room and into thy very presence, in and through the name of the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee tonight for thy atoning blood, for the power of that blood, and Lord, for the righteousness of God revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this evening we know there's nothing in ourselves that could make us come, but it was your grace and your mercy that led us and brought us to grace in Christ. Father, help us this evening, we pray. Bless all that's listening in tonight. And I do ask and pray for the family bereaved, that thou indeed would comfort them and bless them. And to all the young ones at this time, that thou would speak to them in a very special way, and that the Spirit of God would move the heart of men and women and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I do take the Holy Spirit to help me, and I thank you that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. We want tonight to take for our text from this, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The gospel is the power of God. That is the power of God. People say, I want to see the power of God. If you hear the true gospel, that the true gospel is presented and demonstrated. Because we know the early church, that it wasn't just words, but they also demonstrated the gospel. Signs and wonders followed them. There is power in the true gospel. And the thing that gives a gospel its power and its punch is the righteousness of God. This is why the real true gospel is superior to all other religions, to all other followings. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is more powerful than any other following or any other religion, because Jesus Christ is the only man born without sin and who knew no sin. The only man that death had no claim on. Death had no legal claim on Jesus. And we saw through our services already, I've showed you from the Word of God, that Jesus Christ freely gave his life on the cross, and he surrendered it himself from his own choice so that we could be saved. So the power in the gospel is because of the righteousness of God. The gospel is the good news, for it is the God kind of righteousness revealed. It's God's righteousness revealed. It's not about man's righteousness. It's not about some church's righteousness. It's not about an organization. It is about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, and the righteousness of his Father God, whom is righteous. We know the word salvation includes within it deliverance, soundness of mind, healing of the body, and every single blessing of God is in the gospel, all contained in the gospel in salvation. Romans 8, verse 28 to 30 tells us, and you can mark these scriptures down tonight, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called of God according to his purpose, God's purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. The power of the gospel is the good news. Without this righteousness, there would be no good news. There had to be a righteousness, and if you study the Bible, that exceeded the scribes, that exceeded the Pharisees, there had to be a righteousness that exceeded all that. And that righteousness came and lived on this earth and walked on this earth, displayed, put on display in the person of the Savior for 33 years, the Lord Jesus Christ. He displayed it. He showed it. It went far above the scribes and the Pharisees. And it is his righteousness we need. We've none of our own, but we need his. My job tonight is to try and show you his righteousness and how to get it. Man was lost because of sin. So Christ had to come with God's righteousness. Christ had no sin. The righteousness is the dynamics of the power of the gospel. We need his righteousness because we're lost, and we actually need a revelation of the righteousness of God. We need the Spirit of God to open our eyes and to open our understanding to the righteousness of Almighty God. Now, if God does not move in a man, if the Spirit of God doesn't move a man, doesn't move a woman, they'll never be able to come. It is the work of the Spirit of Almighty God that opens a man or a woman's understanding to see this righteousness and to be saved. 2 Peter 1 verse 1 tells us, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. He never ever, you'll notice one thing about the apostles, whether it's Paul or Peter or any of them, and any true, genuine man of God, they will never attribute you to look at them or their own righteousness, but they will point you to the righteousness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll never tell you it's in them. They'll never tell you it's deep within you. You always had it. No, me and you were absolutely lost, and we needed his righteousness, the Lord's righteousness. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Firstly, tonight, I want to say the righteousness of God is the mainspring of the power of the gospel. We must all, you know, we must all know, and we need to all know about the righteousness of God. All of us need to know, even Christians need to know about the righteousness of God. In the Old Testament, there is at least 50 references to the righteousness of God. If you look up the word righteousness of God, there's at least 50 references to righteousness of God. I want to look at some of them tonight in our Bibles. And I want to take my time. I want you to get every word. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. And I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. So I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. This is David. Not according to what David done, but according to the Lord's righteousness. It was praising God according to his righteousness. David knew how to praise God. And we must worship, Jesus told us in the Gospels, we must worship God in spirit and in truth. Now you say, what's truth? The word of God is truth. And ye will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And him who the Son sets free is free indeed, no longer to be entangled again by the yoke of bondage. So we must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Psalms 24, verse 5. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So we see we receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Can you say that God is the God of your salvation? Not the church, but God. Is God the God of your salvation? If he is, then you have his righteousness. It exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees. Psalms 31, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. So David is putting his trust in the Lord. Where are you putting your trust tonight? Is your trust in the Lord? Put your trust in the Lord. And never be ashamed. And God can deliver you out of every situation. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Psalm 71, verse 2. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape or break free. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. So David is crying to the Lord, and David is telling God, deliver me, Lord, in thy righteousness. David never paints himself up that he's anything. But what he does when he comes to prayer, to God in prayer, he praises God for the righteousness of God, for the justice of God, for the righteousness of God. Then he tells God, more or less, because of that righteousness, Lord, I can escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me. The Lord that delivered David, and he did many times. And you think of it, David done terrible things. He backslid. He got away from God, but the Lord still loved him. And he was never lost. He lost the joy, but he never lost the covenant blessing. He never lost that covenant blessing, but he lost the joy. And when he cried to the Lord, God restored him. Restore unto me the joy. And look here, deliver me in thy righteousness. We have nothing to offer to God. We cannot. We cannot approach God in anything we've done. We must approach God by his righteousness. Just like moving the mountain, we need the faith of God. Not our personal faith, but literally the faith of God. You know when Jesus cursed the fig tree? Did you ever think of this? There's other things Jesus could have cursed. Did you ever think of that? Jesus could have cursed many things. Why did Jesus curse a fig tree? He knew it wouldn't have fruit on it. Why did he curse it? And then the next day he came back past it, and it was dead. He cursed it, and he said, cursed be thee. And he cursed it from the root. And the disciples marveled that that tree was already dead. And he told them, have faith in God. And the original translation says, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. So we need God's faith. Now, how do we get faith? We have saw in the services I did on divine healing facts how to get faith. Faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. You say, Pastor Tom, I need more faith. Hear more of the word. Hear about faith. Read about faith. Learn about faith. Consider faith actions in the Bible. Read testimonies of great faith, and your faith will increase. But you can have God's faith. And he says, have the faith of God. And just like you need to have the faith of God, then you need the righteousness of God. The little faith of God. So we can have his righteousness as well. God's, ours is no good. We cannot work it up. It has to be God. Let me read you the statement from God's way that's been made for us. God's way that's been made for us. A quotation. First, we cannot come except by Christ. So therefore we place his name ahead of our prayer. And then we know by his word that you will answer it. For we ask in his name. No righteousness of our own. Nothing that we possess that we could do. But by grace alone we come. Asking in Christ's name. By grace alone. For by grace through faith are you saved. That's the word of God. Grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Do you know grace? God's unmerited favor. Psalm 71 verse 15 and 16. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. So David is saying, I will not talk about any other righteousness, only thine alone, Lord. For there is no other that can come onto the level, that can compare to the righteousness of Almighty God. It is superior to all others. That's why we need his. Why should we take a substitute of a religion or a form when we can have the righteousness of God delivered to us in the person of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? See, David continually mentions God's righteousness, not what he could do or had, but the righteousness of God. Psalms 41 verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And where did Christ sit? On the right hand of the Majesty in high. And the Lord is saying, I will withhold thee. I will withhold thee. If someone withholds you, it sustains you, it strengthens you. With the right hand of my righteousness, with a person of Christ. With a lovely person of Christ. Isaiah 46 verse 13. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off. And my salvation shall not tarry. That's the Lord talking. And I will bless. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. So the Lord is saying he will bring righteousness. The Lord is saying he will bring salvation. It won't tarry. And we know that 2,000 years ago on the cross, God brought that righteousness. And it didn't tarry. And God brought that salvation. Praise God. Salvation is based upon righteousness. Isaiah 51 verse 8. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. People think people can't get saved today. We're at the end and God can't do it today. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Word of God teaches that salvation will be from generation to generation. We are living in a new generation. This is a generation we need to reach with the gospel, with the righteousness of God. And on the strength of these scriptures, God has promised that he will bring his righteousness in every generation. He'll bring righteousness and salvation in every generation. We have a duty to reach this generation, and we can't do it with the church or with the system, but we can only do it through the righteousness that God's given us. That is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, salvation always follows righteousness. Isaiah 56 verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. We need to believe God, that God's salvation is near to come, and his righteousness to be revealed. We need to believe that. We need to believe it for this day. We need to believe it for our children. We need to believe it for this generation. We need to preach it. We need to proclaim it, that salvation's here and that righteousness is here, and it's available. It's available. The revelation of the righteousness of God brings salvation. Do you realize that? We see the word of God reveals the righteousness of God. How do we need the righteousness of God? Man cannot show God's righteousness just by simply talking. We must experience it ourselves. So we can't just show it by talk, but we must experience it. Isaiah 54, 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. God has given us righteousness, and we need to show it. You know, I preached a wee sermon. Some of you is listening know it. It's called Say So. Say So. And Psalms, the Psalms tells us, there's a wee scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need to say he's our healer. He's our savior. He's our baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He's our coming king. We need to use our mouth and profess it and confess it. Confess it and possess it. And we need to talk about God's righteousness. We need to say, I have the righteousness of God. The Lord has given me his righteousness. I am righteous because of his righteousness. How do we obtain this great righteousness? Romans 2 and 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. So if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have access. Are you hearing me? You have a right to this righteousness. Are you believing tonight? Then even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all them and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. So the Lord will give it to any person that believes. Whosoever will may come. You can have the righteousness of God. You know, I want to say this tonight. A lot of people listening to me, you need to stop trying. I want you to hear this. I feel led to say this. You need to stop trying to do it. And you need to let God do it. You need to take a step back. And you need to simply, like a child, like a little baby, receive the righteousness of God by faith. And thank the Lord for it and believe you have it. And on the strength of that, the power comes with it to live that life for you. You can't live the life yourself. You can't do it. But that righteousness, when that comes in you by faith as a child, that righteousness of God, something comes with it. Now you say, brother, where's that in the Bible? Till as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them give he the power. The power to become the sons of God. There is a power in Christ, and by believing in Christ, there's a power with it. There's power with this righteousness. And you know, the power of the gospel, and I've said it, is the righteousness of God. That's why every other religion fails. Whether it's Buddha or Muhammad, I don't care what other religion it is over the world over. If Jesus Christ is not the head of it, it's false. Because it has no righteousness. All them men were born sinners. Those of them that's dead, they're still in the grave. If you dig up their grave, there's bones there. If they're embalmed, they might be there, but they're dead. But Jesus Christ is alive. He's risen from the dead. Seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And we can have access to his righteousness through him, through his name. Access. Power and ability through that name. How can we have it? All who believe in Christ, this righteousness is available to all who will believe. Acts Apostles 13, verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained till eternal life believed. Who will come? Those who were ordained. God knows who they were. Now, people say, there you are, only those ordained's going to come, I told you. But brothers and sisters, bless your heart, you don't know who they are unless God gives you a revelation on it. We're told to preach it till every creature, till all, to the whosoever. God knows who that's going to come. And he goes further, he says, I've lost none. Oh, Father, Jesus said, that thou's given me. He won't lose any. But we must preach it till all. Whosoever will may come. And then when you come, it's elect chosen in him from the foundation of the world. But to those out there, whosoever. Romans 10, verse 1 to 5. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So this same man that knows, it's God that knows, but yet he says his prayer is they're all saved. For I bear them record that they have a seal of God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3. For they have been ignorant of God's righteousness. And you know, he's in that dispensation, for we've had Calvary at this point, but people are still living over in the Old Testament under the law. And they haven't recognized what God's done. And Paul is saying, but they're ignorant of God's righteousness. And that righteousness he's talking about is in Christ. And they're going about to establish their own righteousness. And have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So we cannot go about trying to work on it. But we must receive Christ, and it's his righteousness that comes to us. And there's no working about it. It's actually a rest. It's entering into the rest because of what Jesus already done on the cross 2,000 years ago. We have a rest. And the Bible goes further. It says there is a rest that remaineth for the people of God, where you cease from your own works. A rest. Let me read you a quotation. We would see Jesus. Look at the difference. When the light, that spirit swept across that little predestinated seed. And he's talking about the woman at the well. John chapter 4. And she was ordained to eternal life. Them religious teachers, it never bothered them a bit. They thought so much of their own, doing their own things. And had to be their way. Or no way at all. But when it struck that little woman, ill-famed woman, living in sin. Jesus said, how many husbands? She said, five, and the one who now has is not your husband either, that was six. But she recognized Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the religious leaders of that day didn't recognize it. Now that's striking. People can have religion, but religion is not the righteousness of God. Religion will not save. Only the power of God and the righteousness of God can change a life. Not religion. Praise God. We cannot produce no righteousness. We need God's actually. We have none of our own. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So our own righteousness won't please God. Well, I decided to turn over a new leaf this week. That's good, but it will never save you. Because that's not the righteousness of God. The best you can do wouldn't save you. But yet withal, you can come in childlike faith to Christ, and he will save you. Our iniquities take us away from God. Daniel knew that. Daniel knew that. And look what he prayed in Daniel 9 verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. As at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are afar off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespasses, they have trespassed against thee. Daniel knew that righteousness belonged to the Lord. Man cannot produce one righteous thing. All men are condemned to death. All men. Men can lay down laws, rituals. They can conform people. It means to become similar in form. You can conform them. You can tell people to dress a certain way. You can tell people to look a certain way. You can give them rituals and rules, but if they're not born again, they're still dead. But people can be conformed to the certain rules and still be absolutely lost. We do not just want to be conformed, but we need to be transformed. Transformed by the mighty power of God. And the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power in it to transform us, to make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Not just a form, but transformation. There's a difference in being formed, to form something. We're not talking about that. We're talking about transformation. Romans 3 verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Verse 12. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Men and women need a birth. We all need God's righteousness. We have none of our own. Remember, Jesus Christ never came short of the glory of God. We have all fallen short, but he didn't. He never fell short of the glory of God. He never fallen short of it. The Bible says, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord. John 17:5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So he never fell short of the glory, but we did, because we were born sinners. Buddha and Muhammad were the same. They were born sinners, but Jesus wasn't. We need the Lord's righteousness so that we can partake of his glory. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, if we're going to have that glory revealed in us, we need the righteousness of God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man will be judged by the Lord of glory. The church, the so-called, now there's a true church. There is a true church, the bride of Jesus Christ. You're born into it. You don't join it. You're born into it. There's a true church. But what's called church mightn't be true church. And you will not be judged according to the church, but you'll be judged according to the word of God. The man that you're going to be judged by is the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world through the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 17 verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. In righteousness. By that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he has given him assurance, given assurance unto all men, in that he have raised him from the dead. He didn't raise any of these other men from the dead. So don't follow them. Don't waste your time following a dead religion. Follow the living Jesus Christ. A living religion have the real, living, powerful gospel and the righteousness of Almighty God in the Lord Jesus. The standard in that day is the righteousness of God. We need God more than even a lot of Christians realize they need him. Romans 3 and 25 to 28, whom God have set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness. For the remission of sins are passed through the forbearance of God. Jesus Christ forgives our past sins, present sins, and future sins. His atonement covers all of it, not just part of it, not just the past, but all, because we're in him. I know maybe that's hard to take in, but nevertheless, that's a fact. To declare, I said this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The righteousness of God is declared. You cannot preach the true gospel without preaching the righteousness of God. Do you realize that? It is the power of the whole message of the good news, the righteousness of God. That's why real Christianity is more powerful than any other religion, because it's about one person. It's not about me and you, it's about a person. And this person is righteous, he's holy, he's without sin, he's blameless, he's spotless, he's the Lamb of God, and he's the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3 and 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Philippians 3, 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Jesus Christ's righteousness was superior to the law. He fulfilled the law. You see, if the law was good enough, and if the Old Testament was all we needed, the Bible says there would be no more need for a second testament. But there was. And it goes further. It said they cannot be made perfect without us, because it is Jesus Christ that brings perfection. Jesus Christ. Through his righteousness. And you know, before there was a law, what did God say to Abraham before the law came? You know, law came by Moses, but the Bible says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But think of before Moses and before the law, what God said to Abraham. God comes down to Abraham and he says, Abraham, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Now, when you come up over into Romans chapter 4 and you read about Abraham, what do you read? You read that Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. What? Because he believed God. And if you believe God, you can have the same imputation of righteousness. But you must believe God. Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. You'll get the impartation of righteousness by believing on the Lord. God doesn't tell you, here's a set of rules that you must follow, then come. You don't read that. You read, come as you are. Come as you are. Just the way you are, come. And the Lord will take you, and he'll save you, and he'll deliver you. And he'll put power within you to live godly and to live righteousness. Because when his righteousness comes in you, it will change you, and you'll want to live righteous. How do we receive it? By believing in Jesus Christ, by faith in Christ alone. By grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves. Romans 3, 22. Romans 3 and 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Do you believe? Then you've got this righteousness. There's no different. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. All in Christ. It's all in the Lord. In other words, if you've got the Lord, you've got it all. It's in him. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? It's just like the gifts of the Holy Spirit. People talk about one particular gift, But if you've got the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's all the gifts. You know, old Joseph Smith, and I'm talking about the Joseph Smith that was a great Elam Pentecostal pastor. Not the other Joseph Smith, but the Joseph Smith that was the Elam Pentecostal pastor. And he said, you know, when he asked God about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he says, people talk so much about tongues and speaking in tongues. But Joseph Smith said he never asked for tongues. He asked God for the Holy Spirit. And then he said it like this, and I've used it many times. You know, when you went down to the shop for a pair of shoes, you never went to the shop and said to the man in the shoe shop, can I buy a pair of tongues? You wouldn't ask for that. You needed shoes. So you asked for a pair of shoes. You purchased a pair of shoes. And the tongues was in the shoes. And we need to be asking for the Holy Spirit. And all the gifts of the Spirit is in the Holy Spirit. And God can use any of those gifts in any of his people that will covet earnestly, says the best gifts, then you can have them. But it's the Holy Spirit you need. And it's the righteousness of God you need. And just like his righteousness is in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes through him as well. Because remember what he said in John 14. He said, I'm going away. I am going away. But I will send you another comforter in my name. So the comforter came in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God for the comforter tonight. It's all in the Lord. Everything you need is in the Lord. Don't be looking anywhere else. Well, I'm looking to this church or that church. Look to the Lord. It's in the Lord. Jeremiah 23:6. And the days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Mark that in your Bible tonight, Jeremiah 23:6. The Lord our righteousness. Is the Lord your righteousness? People could look at you and condemn you, but they can't condemn the Lord. And the Lord took your place. And the Lord took my place. And he is my representative. I'm believing him. I've trusted him. And I've got his righteousness because I've got him. Amen. I have the Lord tonight living in my heart. Therefore, I have his righteousness in me. Praise God. It's so simple, but it's so profound. Not our righteousness. I'm coming to close in a moment. Not our righteousness, but the Lord our righteousness. Psalms 98 verse 2. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. The righteousness one became their righteousness. He too becomes ours when we believe in him by calling upon his name. Believing with our heart, we're saved. We then have his righteousness. Now here's the last thought, and I'm going to close. After just a few moments of this last thought, what are the results of the impartation of his righteousness? What are the results? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, what are the results? For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are made the righteousness of God in him. I tell you, when we stand before the Lord, it's not anything what we have done. Even if we have done great things, it won't matter. You know, when we get over to heaven, there'll be no worshiping of some great man. No matter what he's done, we will worship the Lord. God says he'll not give us glory till another. He wants it all. And he's worthy of all our praise. And he's worthy of all our gratitude, the Lord is. Because it's his righteousness. It doesn't say Jesus became sinful. It said he became sin. That he might become the righteousness of God. He paid the price for us. He knew no sin. He had no sin. But he took our place so that we could take his righteousness. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified means being declared righteous. That's what justified means. We are justified by faith in Christ. We are declared righteous because of what Jesus done. Once we accept him, we are declared righteous. Have you accepted him? Then you are declared righteous. That's what justified means. That means God is no more angry with you. You know, a lot of Christians go about and the devil tells them God's cross for you today. That's the devil. I want to tell you, my friend, tonight, God's not cross with you. God's wrath came on Jesus so that we could be delivered, set free. Why would God need his wrath to come on us when it came on Jesus? Now, we know we're condemned if we don't have the Lord. We know that. But I'm talking to you that's saved tonight. The Lord's not crossed with you tonight. The Lord loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you all the benefits that's in them redemptive names. Salvation, healing, the baptism. All attributes were in him from the foundation of the world. And Jesus Christ manifestly displayed them. And they're ours today. And we can have them by faith. You know, people think that God's angry with them, but that idea, I believe it's wrong. Once you've been declared righteous, God's no more angry with you. How could God be angry with you if you're declared righteous? Through Christ. Hebrews 12, verse 9, 13, and I'm closing. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. But he for our profit. See, Jesus took all the wrath of God at Calvary so that we could come. He took it. He took it all. All the punishment due me, due you, Jesus took it all. And I tell you, friend, I know it's hard to believe tonight, but he freely gives you his righteousness. Have you got it tonight? Quit struggling. Quit trying to live a certain way. And then when you feel, you're condemned. Rest in the Lord. Trust the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Maybe you are troubled with someone in your life and you're saved. Listen, my friend, this evening, in private, seek the Lord. Tell the Lord about it. Tell him. Tell God. And I believe the Lord will help you. And the Lord will free you. And the word of God says, him and the Son sets free is free indeed. I really feel led tonight. Maybe there's some people are struggling with some things. God can really help you. And we're here live, and this ministry, if you know, we're nothing of ourselves, but we're here to represent the Lord Jesus. We're here to pray for you. We're here to ask the Lord to help you and give you the word of God to strengthen you so that you'll know that it's the righteousness Jesus purchased for you at the cross. And you can have it by faith like a little child, just like the Bible says, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Have you asked him bread, he won't give you a stone. The Lord loves you tonight. Let us come and let us bow our heads, and then we're going to have another wee word and song. And don't forget, this Sunday morning we will be broadcasting, we'll be having a drive-in church. Go on to Omega Ministry Banbridge website, see the details. You're welcome. Sunday evening at 4:30, we will be live again on Facebook and on our church page. But in the morning, drive-in church. We're looking forward to have a little way of meeting around the Word of God with the saints of God. God bless you tonight. I'm going to pray for you. I want you to believe for a change when I pray. The Bible tells us the affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he was talking about Elijah. And he said, Elijah was subject to like passions as we are. But yet when he prayed, And God closed the heavens for over 3 years. We know that. And he prayed again and God sent rain. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Bow your heads wherever you are tonight. And I'm going to pray for you. And if you're not saved, if you've never took this righteousness, ask the Lord for it. Ask him to save you. Ask him to cleanse you. Ask him to flood you with his righteousness. Maybe you're in bondage with pornography or some other thing. God's righteousness can flood you. The lovely Holy Spirit can come over you. And come over you like a blanket, like the former rain and the latter rain coming on you, coming through you, coming in you, and driving out all the enemy and blessing you, body, soul and spirit. And I'm going to pray for the sick as well tonight. I want you to keep believing God. He is a healer. Savior, a healer. A baptizer in the Holy Ghost and a coming king. Father in heaven, we bow before you tonight. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your righteousness. Father, I come against every work of the devil, every unclean spirit, every foul spirit, every demonic spirit, I come against it. Not in my own strength or power, but by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And I place between the people and this enemy the blood of Jesus. And I ask you, deliver that man, deliver that woman, deliver that boy, deliver that girl. Heal that man, heal that woman. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity and oppression and depression in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bless your people and all that's listening in. I bless them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to pray for the children. Then we're going to have a word of song. And we appreciate our brother Gary sending us all these songs, each service. We really appreciate it. And we believe they're anointed songs. And I want you to join in and sing them and worship the Lord. In our closing, bring the children round. Maybe somebody's on your heart tonight, maybe a son or a daughter, and they're not even with you, but they're on your heart. I want to pray, and I want you to believe for them. Or if you have a brother or a sister on your heart, believe for them as I pray. Believe God. The Bible says, if we petition God, God will hear us. For one will put 1,000 to flight, 2 the 10s of 1,000, and a 3-fold cord's not easily broken. There's power in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask your blessing and protection on every little boy, on every little girl, in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for those especially that people's praying for and believing for, a son or a daughter that's away, that's not saved, Father, in the name of Jesus, may the Holy Spirit go to them. We send the Holy Spirit upon them. We commission the Spirit of God to go upon them and to reach them and bring them and convict them of sin and unrighteousness. We ask for it. We ask it to happen in Jesus Christ's name. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you all. Thank you again for listening in. We will have church drive-in service at 11 o'clock. Go on our church webpage, Omega Ministry Bond Bridge, find the details. And we'll be back again live on Sunday, 4:30, with another wee word from heaven. God bless you. Pray for me. And the Lord bless you as our brother Gary sings for us. Praise God. God bless you. Oh,
Round he rolls again. Can't see Christ, Christ, Christ.
Mm-hmm.